It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And here we go, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors in the waning weeks of deer season. It's about time I start thinking about turkeys, but that's, I have been thinking about them.
Yeah, man. When it starts warming up a little bit in the last part of January, or since deer season goes on in February, you know we're going to hear some of these going on early mornings.
Yeah, it's some years in the past.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, the other day I thought I was going to hear it. I did not hear it. I thought I was going to hear it. I know, you know, a couple of years ago, right there towards the end of season in February, I had a pair of gobblers gobble some 80 or 90 times one morning. They have not heard anything this year so far. But I'm just, I guess that's the mind of somebody like you and I that like to pretty much hunt and fish for everything, that even while you're in, it's like I'm still way into deer season. We're talking deer hunting, and but I can't help but starting to daydream a little bit about turkey. It's a disease that I'm here at prime time.
The rut, you are sick individuals, period, when it comes to hunting and fishing. Just ask our wives.
That's right. That is for sure. Tolerant women, for sure. And coming up, we will talk about what's going on right now. Reports. We'll get a report from Jay Graddick with Skinner's Wild Game Processing. Yeah. You talk about judging whether the rut is in or not. Yes, and we'll talk about what's showing up on social media and the number of people that are killing big bucks. But when you run a game processing place, you see the meat.
You know
for sure. Your barometer's a pretty good one, so we'll check in with him. But the rut report has been pretty strong out there from Jay, and he's going to talk with us. Plus, of course, stories coming in, individuals seeing. I'm seeing some chasing. I've gotten to hunt some since the last show, but it's been, you know, just an afternoon here or there where I could go. And I'm seeing chasing, but they are smaller bucks, and you know where we hunt. We got a big pasture. So
right.
I was looking at,
today, but
yeah, no joke. I was looking at a deer probably about a half mile away, and I sense that, and I have good optics. I'm running 10x56s.
Yeah,
and I thought I saw some decent headgear, but I couldn't be sure. But all the rest of them I've seen chasing are little bucks, but they weren't just bothering the does. They were chasing them in big loops.
Yeah.
So I was seeing that.
Well, you got places you can see them, too.
I can see them long, and this time of year,
the
I'm usually...
The that you have, you can see deer coming out and chasing.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of times when you're in the woods, it might be chasing 100, 200 yards from them,
but
you can't see them. Yeah. But it is happening. There's no doubt about it. When you go up and down the highway and there's dead deer all up and down the highway, you know what's going on. And, of course, being on social media, being on Facebook and everything, man, in the last 2 weeks, oh golly, it is lit up with deer on there.
You know, so, the last 2 weeks is what's important too. And we've talked about this in past shows, and we talked about last week when we talked about the rut schedule.
Right.
And if y'all didn't hear that show, I mean, an in-depth dive into the biology of the rut and whitetails in Alabama.
Right.
So you can go back and listen to last week's show on the podcast page and check that out. But the time I really like hunting is the now or a couple of weeks. I like when the bucks are out cruising and chasing like that, but before they start getting, you know, where they're just sticking right with one doe. I like that buck, the idea that, you know, it helps you keep hunting to know that buck's making a circuit. There's bucks out there, they're checking scrapes, they're checking fields, they're getting downwind of this, that, or the other, and they're making loops through the woods trying to find does. That, to me, is the most productive time.
It is. You know, but once they get on a doe, they on a doe for, you know,
right
what,
now,
about
and
3 days.
Right now, and if she walks in front of you, then great, game on.
Yeah.
But he's going to only pattern her, where when you have the cruising phase, for lack of a better term, or even the chasing, those bucks seem to be covering a lot more distance, a better chance of him walking in front of you.
Yeah, absolutely. But after 3 days, he's back looking again.
Right.
You know, so, and it was really interesting, too, talking to the game warden last week. That, you know, they only made about 4 or 5 does.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like what a lot of people think. Well, they mate maybe 15, 20 does. Yeah,
the idea, too, yeah.
You know, it's real interesting on that.
Well, and the idea that it dispelled the myth that there's, you know, oh, it's just one or two big bucks that do all the breeding.
No.
He's like, man, you know, the studies show, I don't care what you think. He said, man, we've done the studies after study, and There's a lot of them that aren't big bucks getting in on the mating.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Although a doe may mate, he also said, with several different bucks too. That's right. So the idea that it's just going to be one on, you know, that may not be the scenario either. But yeah, let's talk about what you're seeing. Talking about some buddies of mine have killed some good deer. I know you've got, you're telling me about what?
Yeah, Michael Eubanks killed an 8-point up in Dallas County that scored 155. Now think about
eight-point.
That. Think about
what,
eight
are the G2s 6.5 feet long? What are we talking about?
Yeah, I mean,
goodness.
Just monster 8-point. You don't get any better 8-point than
I don't
that
think you could go
in Alabama. I mean, even going out of Kansas or
that's
wherever.
What I'm about to say.
I mean, that's
you
a
have,
real big one. That's
you
a,
have experience in other places.
Yeah.
To me, if you've got a mainframe 8 that's scoring in the 150s, let alone 155, I don't know that you could expect to travel the upper Midwest and kill an 8-point much bigger than that, if that.
Yeah. No, that's about as big as they get. I mean, I have
unreal
seen bigger, but, I mean, that's a – Bill Nunnery found one time while he was – I think I showed you a picture of that while he was –
East Alabama somewhere?
No. This was up in Kansas or Missouri. I forgot. He was bird hunting. He was quail hunting. And he found a skull of an 8-point, and I've got a picture of it. Scored 188 8-point. Think
that's
about
insane.
That.
That's insane.
I mean,
that's insane.
188 8-point.
They got all that bone in only 8 points.
I think that was like a state record, world record, or whatever, if it would have been, you know.
Right.
But whatever, it was a monster. Biggest one I'll never see an 8-point that big again. But I've got a picture of it. I mean, I can show it to people if they want to see it. And then Lance Hall killed a 10-point that scored in Dallas County, 156, I think. So there's been some really good deer killed. And there's been several earlier in the year in Dallas County in the 160s that I know of that were killed. So there's been some really good deer killed this year, Sean, that I know of.
And it's weird, though, because let's talk about this. We hadn't had the coldest winter.
No.
I mean, there's been some cool days, and we had a couple of cool nights, you know, and got in the 20s, you know, once or twice. But compared to last year, we've not had much of a winter. I tell you what, it shows up in the duck hunting front. Even the people in North Alabama crying the blues that they hadn't gotten the ducks.
Well, they hadn't pushed them down.
Right. It has not gotten. Now, there's been some cold weather up there, but, you know, ducks can handle, you know, a couple of days of cold weather. It's just fine. It's not locked in and stayed
when
cold up in the upper
mid. When everything freezes up completely up there, then they come down.
Yeah, people say, oh, we got 17 in St. Louis the other night, right? We can get 17, and it warms up to 49 and thaws, and, you know.
Yeah.
So the ducks has just been really weak. I got to go last weekend, and when that big south wind came in, it's something I like, you know, when I like wind,
yeah,
and really not north wind being a marsh hunter because it puts you on the mud flat. But I like
yeah.
So I went out, and the few ducks that are here, and it's funny, it's 95% gray ducks right now that we're seeing, not even many divers. They moved and had an okay shoot, and then we had a front since then, and maybe we got a few more ducks, but this is it. This is the great last weekend
this
here for duck hunting.
This is it.
And so maybe some people are out there trying it today, but it's been a really poor duck season.
Yeah.
And even wood duck wise, even the wood ducks, you know, around the farm and in the swamp, we just haven't had the wood ducks. And then we had high rivers, which is coming right back up. And we're going to talk about that in a second when we talk with our buddy Wayne Miller about fishing. But I mean, it went down, got up to 14 at Barry, then finally got back to single digits. Now it's going back to 11 something at Barry Steam Plant on the Mobile. So there's been water spread them out. So duck season's been like a non thing
this
year.
Well, it's been all over, Sean. I talked to Mark Candy. He went over to Louisiana, and he said it was just absolutely pitiful in Louisiana. Usually when you go to Louisiana, you expect to just hammer them, have your limit by 8 o'clock in the morning.
If you're in the right places, sure, yeah.
You know, but he said it was really pitiful. Now, I've got another friend of mine that's been hunting up in Mississippi, and the farmer's been calling him every week, saying, hey, you wasting your time. There ain't no ducks in the holes up here.
Yeah.
You're just wasting your time. Of course, the rivers are spread out so wide and everything.
It's warm and wet, which is not good for killing
ducks.
That's
right. But he's going this weekend, and it don't matter what the weather is.
That's right.
You know,
for the last
weekend, he's going.
So we'll do a duck season in review, but I don't think the story is going to be a very rosy one, not just here along the Gulf Coast, but to points north. When we come back, we're going to talk some fishing, and we're going to talk some rut, because we got coming up, Captain Wayne Miller is going to join us. We'll talk to him, see how the bass fishing's been, how them green trout on the causeway have dealt with this high water.
Yes.
And also, checking in just a second half of the show, Jay Graddick from Skinner's Wild Game Processing. You wonder about bucks hitting the ground. Well, he's running Skinner's, so he sees them.
We'll know.
Yeah, he says it's wide open. He's going to give us some stories, and we'll talk some techniques and a whole lot more when we come back right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. But, yeah, it's bass time next. right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have y'all here. And heads up, too, coming up on the weekend of the 8th, 9th, and 10th of February, Mobile Boat Show. Mm-hmm. And the Guides Corner is back as we are going to be there. And folks like Mike Ward will be there for some of it.
Yep, I'll be there.
I'll be there for some of it. We're trying to figure out how to get the schedule around deer hunting and being at the boat show.
Haven't figured that out yet, but we're going to work something out.
But it won't be a problem for this man because he's thinking fishing all the time. Captain Wayne Miller checking in with us. Hey, Captain Wayne.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning. Glad to have you here. And I've been thinking about this. Hadn't talked to you in a couple weeks. Been thinking about the last flood and this flood. And the last flood, while not the you can check the records, not the biggest ever, but a 14-foot plus reading at Barry Steam Plant. That's a big one. That was a big bunch of fresh water coming down the rivers.
Yeah, you know, it really was, Sean. And you know, basically what we had, the situation with water that high, I mean, which is really extreme, was, you know, it really messed the entire delta up. And even down along the causeway, I mean, that water really, you know, muddied up. And it forced a lot of people, you know, of course, fortunately, we still have places to go. I mean, it forced a lot of people to go down and fish some of the rivers that we have on both the east and west side of Mobile Bay, which is some super fishing.
You're talking about the dead end rivers.
We're used to launching the boat and being able to go right here at the house.
But you're talking about dead end rivers. You're talking about places like Dog and Fowl and Fish and Magnolia and those kind of places?
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, we saw quite a bit of traffic down there during that period of time. And I was going down there. Now, what we saw as the Mobile dropped back down was, it cleaned up down along the causeway. You know, the main rivers are still muddy, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But the creeks were, you know, were cleaning up quite a bit. And, you know, so they were really, you know, still fishable. And so we're just fixing to repeat that cycle again now. But, you know, one thing that's encouraging that, you know, I tell people, because I've still been going, even though the creeks are muddy down there on the causeway, they're muddy and stained, you know, those fish are stacked in there. They're not going anywhere. And, you know, I laugh. I tell people all the time, buddy, you eat when it's cold, don't you?
Right.
They do, too.
Yeah, and that's one of the things
you
that...
You know, so they've got to feed.
At some point, though, right? But they don't feed. I mean, in your time on the water, I mean, when the water's cold, cold-blooded critters, they don't feed as much as when it's warm, right? I mean, they can...
No, they don't. And you know, it you really have to slow down, and it limits, you know, the different type of presentations that you can use to really catch fish. I mean, when it gets muddy like that, you're not going to go down there and throw a spinnerbait and catch 30, 40 fish. You know, you've got to slow down with plastic and, you know, really, you know, take your time and pick stuff apart. But you can still catch a lot of fish down there, and that's encouraging. You know, what I saw this past week, you know, was, you know, as that water had dropped down, you know, as we get these cold fronts, you know, the one thing you have to really pay a lot of attention to is that water temperature. Because in relation to how the creeks are set up geographically, you know, the water temperature will vary greatly between creeks, you know, and by that I mean, you know, anywhere from 1 to 3 degrees.
But that makes a difference, doesn't it?
That can be huge. And, you
know,
typically I try to find the warmest water possible.
When you say that, how 1 to 3 degree difference, which I agree, I mean, in the fishing world,
yeah,
can mean a whole lot. Are these creeks that are, 10 miles apart, or are these creeks that are 2 miles apart? I mean, is it worth checking?
A lot of times there are creeks that are 2 miles apart.
Okay.
And the reason for that is some of them are a little bit deeper. Some of them have, you know, more wind break depending on what the predominant wind is, and with these fronts obviously we get, you know, a strong north wind. But you know, I saw that down there recently. I mean, I went into a creek and you know, I was throwing a June bug worm on a shaky head.
Mm-hmm.
And I caught, you know, probably in an hour and a half, I caught, I think, four fish. You know, it was tough. Well, I decided to make a run, and I ran about a mile away to another creek. Well, I got in there, and the water, as far as clarity, was identical, but it was almost 2 degrees warmer, and I immediately caught five fish just in a matter of, you know, 20 minutes.
And that temperature was, you said, I mean, just a few degrees different.
Yeah. Well, the first creek I went in that morning, the water temperature was 46 degrees.
Nice.
Pretty cool.
That's chilly.
Yeah. You know, so when I went to that second one, it was about 48, just a little over 48 degrees. And, you know, like I say, there wasn't any difference really in time. I mean, it didn't take me 5 minutes to run over there. But the fish were much more active just with that little bit of additional water temperature.
Do you throw crankbaits at all this time
it's
of year?
Always crankbaits with you, Ward. It's
well,
always
I mean,
cranked.
Yeah. But I know he's slowing way down. Wait, I've always got
yeah,
that.
I know.
But usually, you know, this time of year, like you say, you slow down some because the water temperature
yeah.
and they're not feeding as strong. But I know some people, some friends of mine this time of year, they use rattle traps in the middle of those creeks and stuff
yeah.
and catch
yeah,
them.
You can. And, I mean, one thing you can do with those rattle traps, and I mean, it's a great technique, is make long casts and just yo-yo those, you know, rattle traps. And
no, explain that
you,
to us. Explain that.
Feeding period in there, you know, you'll catch them on that. But
explain yo-yo to us. See, yo-yo and the rattle trap. How does that work?
Basically, what you're doing there is you're making a long cast. You let the bait go completely to the bottom.
Okay.
And then you just rip it up. And as it falls, you reel in your slack. You really have to pay close attention as you're doing that. But you're just bringing the bait up in the water column and letting it fall almost vertical back down. And that triggers a lot of bites in cold water.
Now, so almost like a shad or something runs up and then is wounded or something is
yeah.
fluttering back to the
right.
bottom?
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, and Mike, you're right, man. I mean, that's a fantastic technique. As far as conventional crankbaits, you know, you can catch some if the water's stained. I don't really like to throw them once the water really gets muddy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, the fish, you know, I just don't catch that many fish on them anymore.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about if somebody's going to be dealing with this next big push of fresh water. And let's say, I know, the easy answer is just wait for it to fall back out. But what if somebody, what if you were at a tournament or something and you were forced to fish those fish conditions of rising water like that, and you could fish down here along the marsh and the causeway, what would you do? Where would you go? Would you just go past that and go down to the dead-end rivers, or what would you do?
You know, really, you've got two options. Obviously, you can go down to the rivers, you know, down, you know, on the south end of the bay. But if you want to stay in the Delta, the amazing thing is even with the flood that we had, this last one that we had, Sean, I had people calling me and they were like, man, have you been across the causeway? Look at how low it is. How can the Delta be flooded? Because we had real strong tides
mm-hmm.
that were actually sucking that water out down on the lower end. So it's amazing, even though we've got extreme flooded conditions in the middle and upper Delta. With these strong tides that we get this time of year and with the north wind, it keeps that water down on the lower end. And those creeks are really, you know, they're going to stay fishable. And like I say, the good news for everybody is those fish aren't going anywhere. We know where they are. They're in those creeks adjacent to the bay. Now, you may have to get in there and really slow down with plastic to catch them. But, you know, there's no mystery about where the fish are.
Yeah, have confidence in the fact yeah. the fish are there. I mean,
don't
just,
go anywhere.
Yeah. Because sometimes people think the fish leave.
I encourage people to do when they go in there, because I do it. You know, once I run in off the river, typically what I look for is when does the water start cleaning up a little bit, how far back I have to run in that creek. And once I do, you know, I'll sit down and use my electronics, and I'm looking for fish, and I'm looking for bait.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, basically what I do, I'll just idle, and I'll stay on those outside swings where you get deeper water, and especially look at grass lines, because a lot of these creeks have grass that extends out into that, you know, 3, 4, 5 feet of water. And, man, this time of year, that is absolute dynamite place for fish to stage.
That is a great tip.
You know, when you find them there, you can back off and you can try, you know, the rattle traps, you can try the crankbait. But if you're seeing bait and fish on your electronics, do not leave there until you throw some plastic. I mean, you've got to slow down, because it's just a dynamite technique this time of year to catch fish.
Absolutely. All right. Before we wrap up here, just one thing. So you and I had texted you a picture earlier this month. Now, it's a farm pond. Frog fish in January, and I think I may have bitten off more than I can chew, but that means I got to go catch one. I think I'm going to try to catch a fish on a topwater frog every month of the year, and maybe we can have like a little, put the pictures up here. I got one in January, which was going to be probably one of my harder ones to do. They'll bite frogs. Maybe they'll bite frogs in February. We'll get a early spring or something like that. I'm going to, like, you and I can have a challenge. Let's get a frogfish picture every month of the year.
Man, that is great. I mean, that was a beautiful fish. I mean, you know, the great thing is, you know, you can probably do it down here. You know, that's the advantage we have living down here, man, is, you know, it's, even though we do have some extremes on the weather, you know, we've got some fantastic fish in virtually 12 months a year.
That's for sure. Let's talk about some of that. Somebody wants to go out and do some of that fantastic fishing with you. How do they get in touch?
They can reach me at 251-455-7404.
All right, and we will check back with you next week and talk more about this. Hopefully we'll be talking about better conditions down the road.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, Captain Wayne Miller checking in, and we'll head from the bass fishing to the rut. And Jay Graddick's going to join us. They're hitting the ground. The rut is on, and we'll talk about that when we get back. All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you here. And remember, the show runs again this evening at 11 o'clock, plus the podcast post up probably about 8:30 this morning. You'll be able to check it out and listen to this, or go back in the library and listen to shows in the past. Right now, though, this is pretty cool. We're not going to leave this guy waiting, because we rang his phone with him in the deer stand. Check in with Jay Graddick from Skinner's Wild Game Processing. Y'all be quiet. Jay's hunting. Y'all be quiet. Jay.
Hey, guys, what are y'all up to?
I thought he was sick a while ago.
We're not having as much fun as you. You're in the stand. Plus, I've been getting the text from you. You said the rut is wide open, so that's probably why you're in the woods.
Yes, sir. We have taken in a bunch of mature bucks in the last week, probably averaging 40 a day.
Man, wow.
I've never seen it this good.
And this is what Mike and I were talking about in the first segment of the show today, is the number of bucks. I want to hear what you're seeing, but it's not exactly been a super cold winter. It's been a fairly mild winter, but it seems like something's working out there.
Yeah, my customers are seeing a lot of bucks. They're seeing big bucks. We haven't taken in hardly any does in the last week or so, and you know, no spikes. It's all been, you know, mature deer.
So what's some of the best ones you've had brought in?
Mike, we've had a sack full of 10 points that were, you know, 120 to 130 inch deer.
Yeah.
We've got one, the one I sent you guys a picture of.
Right.
I don't know what his score. I ain't totaled him up, but he's got exceptionally long tines for a deer in this area.
Unreal, yeah.
12-inch tines, yeah.
He is. I mean, I'm going to put this. All right, I'll put that picture up, or people can take a look at this. It's wait till you see the G2 on this sucker. Unbelievable. I mean, that thing is. It's a heck of a big buck. But you said how many a day are you getting?
40. We're getting between 35 and 45.
That is that's awesome.
5 days.
That is, I mean, that's a bunch of bucks.
That's a lot of skinning.
Yep.
Yeah, that is awesome, man. Yeah, you don't have time to be hunting. You need to get back there and get skinning deer, boy.
That's right. Well, there's privileges with ownership, right?
Yeah.
You know that. I want to talk about, so you're seeing these deer come in. It started, when did it start to really pick up? What? How long ago?
Friday, a week ago. We just all of a sudden, it caught us kind of by surprise. Big bucks came in all day this past Friday. And then up through that front, all that rain we got up here in Thomasville, the day before that, all the way up to just before that front, I mean, they were stacking them up. And then it rained all day, Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
And got a huge amount of rain up here. Of course, nobody hunted. We didn't get anybody to bring anything Wednesday. But then after that, it just turned right back on again. It got cold. It's a little breezy, and everybody's seeing bucks.
Hey, question about that. We've talked about hunting, you know, how much you and Mike both were kind of educating us hunting right before the rain or right after. Get in the stand as the rain is quitting, because those bucks will go out and checking scrapes, or I guess they get to cruising too. I mean, it's a pretty good time to be in the woods.
Absolutely. My game cameras have been going off. I got those that come to your phone. They're going off all day and all night.
Yeah.
With deer. It's not just nighttime pictures. It's not just, you know, early morning, late afternoon. It's all day.
Well, this is when it's supposed to be happening, Jay. I mean, this is what we wait for every year. You know, some people don't even hunt till January. You know, this is what it's supposed to be like right now. And what about the weight on the deer? You know, we've been talking about the weight's been, seemed like creeping up and getting a little bit better every year. What are your weights doing this year on the mature bucks?
Mike, you know, we've had a lot of 190 and above this year. I think our heaviest deer was 239. We had several, you know, 210, but the average has been, you know, 185 and up to that 200 mark. We've had a lot of bucks.
So what does that compare to the past years?
I think it's a little better. It's better. Usually this time of year, you know, the weights are starting to fall off, actually. These deer not as
not
interested in eating, and they're just
rutting.
Spend a lot of time traveling around. They're you know, you can look at the frame. You got a big old long deer, and you can tell that he's been walking around. He's dropped a little weight, but we're still getting them. You know, 185, 190, 195, 200 pounds.
That's awesome, man. That really is some good deer. You know, do you think that the 3-buck limit has made a difference on now killing, sounds like, better quality bucks now?
Mike, I think absolutely something's working. You know, I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. You know, my customer base, that something is working, because you're not seeing, these guys aren't coming in, well, I ain't seen a deer all year, so I shot this spot.
Right.
They're not saying that anymore. They're coming in with good deer on a regular basis.
Well, I really believe that has had some effect on the better quality deer that seems like are being killed now. You know, I think they're seeing a lot more smaller 6 points and 8 points and stuff, and I think the cameras are helping too, saying that, you know, they're seeing these better quality deer on camera. They may not be killing them, but they know they're there, so they're passing up some of these little deer, knowing that they only have 3 deer to kill. So I think a combination of all that, the cameras helping people see the big deer and trying to kill them and passing up on the small ones, I think that's, you know, part of it too.
Yeah, I do too, Mike. It gives them something to target. And, you know, a long, long time ago, you hunted a place and you didn't see something for 2 or 3 weeks. You were like, well, we don't have any deer.
That's right.
But then here come trail camera. People started putting them out, and then they're realizing, yeah, we got deer. We just ain't We just hadn't been lucky enough to run across him.
That's right.
He's here, and he's a big deer.
That's right. So you'll pass up a bunch of small ones just knowing that that big one's there.
Yeah, I got one I'm hunting right now. I'll send you a picture of him. I got a picture of him three evenings ago. And for this part of the country, he's an exceptional deer.
Yeah. Yeah, send us a picture on that. You know, the cameras really kind of are really good and kind of bad in a way. You know, we used to go hunting anticipating there's a monster behind every tree just about, you know, just thinking, man, I know there's some big ones. We're going to see a big one come out any time, and we don't see them. Then you think, well, they're not there, you know. But, you know, cameras, they tell you they're there. I mean, they either there or they're not there.
Absolutely. It keeps the fire going.
Yeah.
It keeps the interest up. Very few people don't know somebody that's got a huge buck on camera.
Yeah.
If you don't have it yourself, you know. And another thing, too, you know, you go to your stand, and you know you got a certain buck you want to shoot, and you may see two or three other bucks before you ever run across him, and you're letting out there go.
That's right.
And there's your carryover for next year.
That's exactly right. That's what I was talking about.
And you got to have a little confidence, too, I think. Part of the human part of it is have a feeling that the people next year are doing the same thing. You know, a lot of us don't have giant If you feel like you got people around there that are going to let that buck walk, too, I think it helps people let that deer walk. You're, number one, waiting for that deer y'all are talking about. Right. But number two, you say, hey, they're not going to shoot him either, so I'm not going to shoot him.
Absolutely. My buddy from Kansas is here with me this week, and he missed a real big one yesterday on my place over in Tallahatta.
Yeah. What was it doing?
That place is heavily hunted around it. But he was amazed. He said, I didn't know deer got that big in Alabama.
So that must have been a big one to impress your buddy from Kansas.
He said it was about 4 inches outside his ears on both sides.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Holy cow.
And I've seen some of the pictures your buddy's killed in Kansas, and you've killed out there. So if it impressed him, it must have been a pretty good deer.
Yeah, it shook him up, Mike.
It shook him up.
I love it. And by the way, you're just joining us. We are talking with Jay Graddick from Skinner's Wild Game Processing while he's hunting. That's why he's whispering. I love it.
Yeah.
We've interrupted him in the stand. It's tough. You got your phone on you. We're going to call you. Let's talk about this. What was that deer doing that he missed? Was it chasing or cruising or what kind of behavior?
He was with a doe, and he was slipping through a bottom. I put him in one of my little honey holes, and earlier that morning, he got a glimpse at a buck came through there. And then almost midday, it was about 11 o'clock. He said he looked on the other hillside, and there he was just standing there. And then he seen the doe coming down the hill, and the buck started down behind her, and then he stopped, and he took a shot at him and missed him, so that got him rattled. He didn't even sleep good that night.
Well, he's used to bow hunting anyway. He's not used to gun hunting, is he?
Absolutely. He told me he's never killed a deer with a gun in Kansas.
Welcome to Alabama. Get it out of your system.
Yeah.
Paint a scenario for me here, or y'all give me a solution. You just mentioned he saw that buck earlier in the day and he stayed with it. This time of year, if y'all saw a good deer, you know, with a doe, something like that, passing by, moving or something like that, would you have confidence in staying in that same area, or would you want to, if you had the liberty to move, would you move?
I wouldn't move.
The only reason
I would move is if I knew they were headed to a place that either had a food source or some place that gave me a better opportunity to see them. They typically, you know, now he saw the same deer again the next day.
Oh, wow.
But he didn't get a shot at it. It was chasing the doe hard. And he said, I just couldn't get a shot at it. And he said, I'm pretty sure it's the same buck. And he's back in there right now. You know, for a couple of days, that doe is—they say 3 days. Sometimes they'll lock up with them and stay with the same doe for about 3 days.
That's right.
I shot one a week ago. I saw it one morning. It was two bucks with the doe, and it was in a real tight bottom. And I just couldn't find him with my rifle. I saw him with my binoculars, and then when I tried to get my rifle on him, he moved or something. I never could find him. So I went back the next morning, and the next morning killed him.
How about that?
Here's what they do in the same, I'm talking a 2-acre place. He was in that same place with her.
How about
now,
that?
Now, this is gonna make Jay really mad at me because we bothered him while he's hunting, but can you hang on? We got to go to a news break. Can you hang on and come back with us?
Yeah, I'm good.
he's gonna crush
Don't
me.
Shoot while we're going.
Yeah, wait. If that buck's going to step out, wait so yeah. we can get the gunshot, that audio coming up. All right, coming right back. More with Jay Graddick from Skinner's Wild Game Processing. If you needed any motivation to get out to the woods, the bucks are hitting the ground.
Yep, big time.
Packing up and heading to wherever you're hunting this afternoon. All right, coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back to FM Talk. Welcome back to FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors.
Now let's holler at him.
Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, and Jay Graddick from Skinner's Wild Game Processing. He's whispering because he's in the stand. Bothering him this morning. I love it. We're getting actual on the scene rut report, and it has been wide open, Jay.
Yes, it has. This morning, actually, we hadn't talked about it. I've seen 3 bucks in about 7 does, I think. The good thing the wind's blowing, or I wouldn't have answered the phone.
Okay, so walk us through this. Like, what kind of describe where you're hunting? Like, what kind of cover are you open? You tight cover? What are you hunting in?
Well, what I'm hunting this morning is some 40-year-old pine trees that have been, you know, they've been cut a couple times, so the trees are fairly spaced out. And it connects to a big oak bottom, a real pretty oak bottom in the back here. And it's kind of a transition area where I'm catching these deer. They like to run around in the more open woods. And when they're kind of chasing or really traveling, they don't go up in the briar patches like a rabbit. You know, they just kind of cover a lot of ground, and I'm catching them coming through here.
And so that kind of area, you're not in a bedding area, you're not on the food source, you're in between.
Edge of the bedding yeah. area, yeah.
But you're in the transition area.
Right. That seems to work. It's worked for me for a long, long time.
Are you using, are you putting any kind of scent on the ground, doing anything like that? Do you do that?
No, I haven't. This is going to hurt the people that sell it. I haven't had a lot of luck with it in Alabama.
Right.
There is a product that I have found that works good for, it just seems like the deer when they get downwind, it doesn't bother them as bad. That's at Evercom.
Mm-hmm.
But I think next year, it might not be legal in Alabama, because it's a natural scent. And I use it in Kansas and I've used it here in Alabama. And it just seems like the deer smell something, but it doesn't really spook them.
So, I mean, that's more of a cover scent than an attractant scent.
Absolutely.
So why would that be illegal in Alabama?
I think it's a natural, isn't it? Next year you got to go all synthetic on scents.
I think so, because there were I know some scientists have talked about the CWD issues. I don't know if it is for Evercom, but they, you know, having urine and those kind of things while we're trying to not bring deer
I didn't connect that.
Yeah, see, Evercom is collected from one of these basically a deer farm,
right?
And it's put in it's like an underarm deodorant dispenser.
Right.
And it's good. I've used it for the last 2 years in Kansas and both Alabama, and it just they just don't spook as bad.
I want to talk about that more going forward too, and we'll get in to see what the state does and what the Conservation Advisory Board says on that. I do want to talk a bit about something you said during the news break there. The other thing you wouldn't go in the woods without, now obviously rifle there, but you and Mike and I, we all nodded together, and that was your binoculars.
Absolutely. You know, right now, what's going to happen is these bucks are traveling a pretty good bit this past week. And now what's going to happen is that they'll stand there with that doe and basically be tending that doe, and she's not running anymore. She's just kind of nibbling on something or whatever it is, and he's just standing there. So you don't have that you don't have all that big movement to see, and you may just see a tail wiggle or an ear flick or the turn of a head or something like that, and you really got to be watching, because that deer, when they really lock down, that deer might not travel but a couple of acres in a whole day.
Yeah. So yeah, it's gone from that wide open running around to now they're, I mean, it's back to more like it was before the chasing phase.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. The chasing phase is just kind of a pestering time. They just run around pestering the girl. Okay? They're looking for Sally.
Yeah.
But when the time gets right, they really don't chase them that hard unless there's a group of bucks after one doe. She'll just kind of stand there and do her thing, and he'll be standing there kind of waiting for the right time, and they'll spend the whole day, you know, just doing that. So they don't really cover a lot of ground.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to let you get back to hunting. Remind folks, too, if they're like the 40-some-odd people a day whacking bucks right now, they want to stop by and drop off a deer with you. How do they do it, Jay?
Man, up here in Thomasville, we ride off 43. Just take a left and head west from Hardy's on 43, go down there to a four-way stop sign, and we're down there on the north side, that intersection, about 300 yards. We're there from 8 in the morning to 8 at night. If you get a deer and you're going to be late, just call us, and we'll stay there for you.
That's
another
awesome.
The place we have is in Daphne on Highway 181. It's a drop-off place. Just come by there and bring your deer and drop it off.
Good stuff. Awesome. We'll let you get back to hunting and talk to you next week, and I'll be waiting to see what you do this morning. So send us a text if you get one.
All right, buddy. Y'all be good.
Absolutely.
You,
will do. Jay Graddick, check it in live from the stand here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. All right. We got to go get in the woods ourselves, and we'll do it again next week. Reminder, boat show coming up February 8th, 9th, and 10th. We'll be there for the Guides Corner with great advice from the best fishing guides out there, freshwater and saltwater. Plus, we'll be doing this show, a two-hour version like we did last year, live from the boat show on Saturday. That would be the 9th from 10 to noon. All right, out of here, Prep Sports Report on the way next.